now. Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Friday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Thrilled to pieces just to have you along. It is indeed Friday. Confound it. Weekend upon us. Two solid days of me having to keep it to myself. But, you know, we'll have as much fun as we possibly can tonight, and in so doing, get through the weekend perhaps a little bit better. Now, I'd like to start with one of those little, what I like to call journalism moments. And odds are, if you're my age or older, you might even have had a journalism class. Ninth grade, 10th grade, somewhere along in high school, you had the journalism class. And so I want you to use your own experience. Some would say this is nitpicking on my part. I would say that if you're in the professional media business, this is a no-no. And no, I'm not picking nits. I'm merely pointing out the fact that this, what our buddy Joe Vecchio refers to as the professional media, that just ain't what it used to be. Now, I'm not going to go into any kind of details. I'm not going to go into any discussion. We're not going to talk about our own little CSI or anything like that. We're just going to talk about this headline from the Associated Press. The Associated Press, mind you. I mean, this is not a Tala News Service with Jimmy Jeff Genny Guckert. This is the real news organization, right? Right. The author is one Lynn Brzoski. The dateline is Corpus Christi, Texas, Associated Press, as I said. And the headline reads as follows. Man shot by Cheney leaving hospital. Now, just hold on. Stretch it out, play with it, pull it around, you know, Turkish taffy, you know. Man shot by Cheney leaving hospital. Now, I read that and I thought, holy hell, he was waiting for him. Didn't get him the first time. Throw mama from the train a kiss. Throw me down the stairs my hat. Man shot by Cheney leaving hospital. I showed that to my 81-year-old father, who had a grand lady by the name of Minnie Lee Hugert. Minnie Lee Hugert. For his ninth grade journalism class in the high school he attended in 1939. I said, Dad, here's another one for the list. Just dropped it in his lap, and he put the reading glasses on. And he started cackling. And then he started guffawing. And he looked up and said, Lynn Brzoski couldn't get out of Minnie Lee's ninth grade journalism class. Not like that. And the question I have is, why do we pay so much attention to people who can't even string a headline? Now, I'm sure maybe Lynn Brzoski didn't write the headline. But somebody, probably, for all we know, with a 4-year degree, for God's sakes, in journalism. Man shot by Cheney leaving hospital. Umpire killed by car crossing the street. Really? I mean, does that give you the same image that, you know, Cheney in the bushes with his 28-gauge shotgun waiting for... I only winged him the first time. Okay, enough of that. But that's the professional media. That's the real, live, honest-to-God professional media. Now, on the other hand, and this is a couple of days old, so I hope you'll bear with me. I've got a soundbite here that I want to share with you, if I can... do so. And of course, it's our buddy, our dear, dear friend, Flush Flemball. You know about this, don't you? I heard this, and I'm a little late getting to it. But how in heaven's name can I not play this? How in heaven's name can I not share this with you? In the Paul Hackett discussion. And bear in mind, I got a most excellent email from our friend Christy in Ohio. And Christy says she has no idea what's going on with Paul Hackett either. But toward the end of her email, she wrote this, and I think this is trenchant and it is important, especially coming from an Ohio voter, an Ohio Democrat, an Ohio decent person. You know, an Ohioan who belongs to a party whose governor didn't get convicted late last year. Christy just says, regardless of the reason for dropping out, Paul Hackett needs to endorse Sherrod Brown and get people excited about the Democratic ticket. And that is that's the bottom line. That is the if it's important to retake the Senate, then Paul Hackett needs to back away from his you won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore speech, and get busy getting Sherrod Brown into the Senate of the United States of America. Now, I mentioned that because, this Rush Limbaugh business has to do with Sherrod Brown. You'll notice I'm calling him Sherrod Brown because Sherrod Brown is his name. It's easy for me because where I grew up, a couple of my dear friends went to the Sherrod Avenue Church of Christ. So I'm familiar with the name Sherrod. Apparently, Flush Flemball has never heard the name Sherrod. But anything that he sees that's out of the ordinary, Sherrod and Brown, listen to the soundbite.
They say they support the troops, but they don't. And yet they want to bring out a bunch of guys in uniform to run. Maybe somebody in the party has figured this out. And don't forget, Sherrod Brown is black. There's a racial component here, too.
What?
And on the newspaper that I'm reading all this from is the New York Times. They, of course, don't mention that. Democratic leaders say that Representative Sherrod Brown, a seven-term incumbent from Avon, has a far better chance of toppling Senator DeWine than does the Hackett.
Now, see... this is where we would, if I had the album in the live, we would be playing that Pink Floyd, like, ha-ha, Sherrod, you are. Sherrod. He sees Sherrod, he sees Brown, and, you know, we know from the study that was released last week that Republicans are more biased against people of color than liberals and Democrats are. It's just a daggum fact, okay? So there's Rush Limbaugh declaring that, I read all this information in the New York Times. Not the part about him being a Negro, you understand, but everything else was in there. My friends, they're cutting Paul Hackett's throat because Sherrod Brown is brown. And no, he's not. No, he's not. Sherrod Brown is not Sherrod. He is Sherrod Brown, and he's a white dude. Not that it matters, for God's sakes, but he's a white guy, and he's not Sherrod, he's Sherrod.
With a name like Brown, of course.
Yeah, I know. With a name like Brown, with a name like Brown, he's got to be black.
Oh.
Oh, golly Moses. Do you see what an ugly little claven of racists these people are? No, we're not. Some of our best friends are not as white as we are.
Wasn't his housekeeper Mexican?
I don't know what his Limbaugh's housekeeper was, but the whole idea here that you know, you just assume based on a guy's first name what his skin color is? Well, okay, his first and his last name, to be fair. Sherrod Brown! And this guy's got his finger on the pulse of American politics? Oh. My God, I remember that wonderful line from Cheers once upon a time where Fraser Crane looked at Cliff Clavin and said, "Hello in there, Cliffy. What color is the sky on your world?" Well, I can tell you in Russia's world, it damn sure ain't black! Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. He goes on later, Sherrod Brown's a white guy? Then I'm confusing him with somebody. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I thought Sherrod Brown, I'm confusing him with somebody. He apologized for thinking Sherrod Brown was black. Rush, buddy. First law of holes. When you're in one, stop digging. Okay? I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break, come back. Of course, your phone calls are welcome. 877-443-2366. I had to get a couple of giggles. You know, I keep saying there's nothing funny, and there's not. But some of this stuff is, it's worth a chuckle or so. Let's see, what was that? Wild one. Man shot by Cheney leaving hospital. Paul! This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
So ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway... Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated. And though I know you can't appreciate it,
Okay, since we're dealing with hateful racist Republicans, let's do one more along those lines. Found this over at our buddies WD40.com, and every time I mention them, I get these emails saying, Bob, I went to WD40.com, and it was about the spray lubricant. No, DUBYAD40.com. DUBYAD40.com. WD40.com. Who is this weird little... another one of those weird little conservative attack blondes, Debbie Schlussel. Schlussel? Schlussel? That just sounds like something nasty, Schlussel.
Bob.
Muslims dominate Missouri truck driving school, raided by FBI. And Debbie Schlussel wrote this, and she said, "Are potential Islamic terrorists trying to get commercial driver's licenses and hazardous materials hauling certificates? You bet they are, in droves." No, I'm not kidding. Go read this. It's beautiful. The latest, as reported by Kansas City media, is the South Central Career Truck Training Program in West Plains, Missouri, in South Central Missouri. A whopping 60%, PEREN in all capitals, spelled out, SIXTYPERCENT, exclamation point, series, hue! A whopping 60% of those who took a CDL test there from May 2004 to December 2005 had Mideast names! Really? Mideast names like Jesus? No kidding. And she writes, "Hello?" And as usual, your tax dollars probably paid the bill. That particular truck driver's school is run by Missouri's West Plains Public School District as part of vocational training. Watch the well-done, frightening video news report. Scary stuff. Blood-sucking monkeys from outer space. They land in West Mifflin. Now, newsflash to Debbie Schlussel.
You enjoy saying that.
No, I just remember making that noise somewhere along the way. Schlussel. Debbie, baby, honey. The tourists don't need a license to drive the trucks full of explosives into a building. Just like, those Arabs you're so convinced flew those planes into the World Trade Center didn't need pilot's licenses. Now, there was one dude who did have a pilot's license. He tried to check out in a Cessna single engine, you know, and couldn't. Couldn't fly it. Not couldn't land it. Couldn't fly it. You don't need a license. Wait a minute. Wait, back up. Let's see. What was the worst terrorist attack on American soil prior to 9/11? Who was the guy with the Arabic name that did, Timothy McVeigh, Republican, Bush voter, you know, Bush won, Reagan Republican, conservative, Timothy McVeigh. Did he have a CDL, a commercial driver's license? Did he have to go to the South Central Career Truck Training Center in West Plains, Missouri, to learn how to drive that Ryder truck full of ammonium nitrate and diesel fuel that he used to blow up the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building? No. That's like all these freaks. We can't let the Mexicans have driver's licenses, or next thing you know, they'll take over America. You know, when in fact, if you think about it for a minute, if you let the Mexicans have the driver's licenses, then the Mexicans can get car insurance. Otherwise, they're just running around uninsured and, well, your rates go through the roof, but the insurance companies want to bill you more money. So if you're a conservative, you're a willing stooge of the insurance industry, and that's how that works. Oh, God. The school district has suspended the director of the truck school and one of the CDL testers. Previous similar investigations in other states like Utah have uncovered testers helping illegal aliens pass the test. Now, wait a minute. Are we talking about illegal aliens, or are we talking about Muslims? because it is possible to be a Muslim and in the United States legally. It does, you know, being a Muslim in the United States doesn't necessarily mean you automatically have to go to the re-education center presently being built by Halliburton Corporation in places that, you know, with wide open spaces like Alaska and the great upper Midwest. You are allowed to have a name like Muhammad in the United States, sure. Of course, I don't. You know, for all I know, after mentioning the illegal aliens in this story, for all I know, Debbie Schlussel. Have any of you guys Googled up the word Santorum? If you go to Google and just type in Santa, don't do this with the kids around. If you Google Santorum, it's just icky. Is this the Schlussel? Is that a kin word to Santorum? But I don't know. This woman may be so, you know, she's a Republican. She's a conservative. She may be so abjectly stupid that she thinks Jesus is a Middle Eastern name.
Jesus?
It's kind of hard to tell. She says, we've noted, you know, she and that mouse in her pocket, we've noted multiple times that two members of Detroit's alleged Al-Qaeda cell also took CDL tests and tried to get hazmat hauling certificates, a tax-funded Arab welfare agency. Huh? Dominated by Muslims. Let's see, a tax-funded Arab welfare agency dominated by Muslims.
Her Prozac's not working yet.
Yeah, they're Prozac. we got to up the script for Debbie. Paid thousands in job training money to get the men the lessons. When FBI agents raided the men's apartment after 9/11, they found a pre-printed cheat sheet with answers to the test. They were cheating on the driver's exam! If the Muslims get CDLs, then the terrorists win. Oh, God. This is what we're dealing with in the fight. This is the kind of abject, idiotic, mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking stupidity we are dealing with from the right. These are the people. I mean, you know, it ought to give you heart. If you're a liberal, you're a progressive, you want to put your feet on the street, you want to hit the bricks, you want to protest, you want to march, you want to argue, you want to debate, these are the people you're debating. It ain't going to be hard. If you stand up and you confront them with facts, well, you know, maybe they'll do like Janet Parsall did with Randy Rhodes and stick her fingers in her la 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 la. Wait a minute. Like a Muslim woman. I'm sorry. Bad. But seriously, that's what you're dealing with. This is not that hard a fight. All we got to do is get in it and participate. Don't let these people run you over. There are people the nation over standing in groceries. Did you hear about all them Muslim truck drivers what wants to blow up our truck stops and take away our frozen hamburgers? Yes, they do. That's all they are. They're idiots. I mean, honest to God, dumber than a bag of hammers, stupid. I don't know what Debbie Schlussel did in her former life, but she's not doing journalism. Wait a minute, let me check that. Does that headline say? Maybe she wrote "Man Shot by Cheney Leaving Hospital." Maybe she moonlights for the Texas AP. I don't know. Let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
It's Friday night, and some things we've come to expect on Friday night, and one of the things I look forward to most on Friday night is our call from across the pond from our buddy Andy in Wales. Hey, Andy, you're head on. Good to hear from you, friend.
How's it going, man? You okay?
Doing good.
Good, good, good. Oh, there's so many things. Okay, where do we start?
Flip a coin.
Cheney. Let's start with Cheney.
Sure, why not?
Okay, look. I'm no hunter, okay? Don't hunt. Not a lot of hunting goes on over here unless you're rich, yeah?
Yeah, right.
But I used to live right next to a lord, you know, big manor house, huge lands, pheasant shooting and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do first aid. I used to do it for the St. John Ambulance, sort of voluntary thing. So at hunts and fox hunts and things, sometimes we'd be there if it was a big one, and sometimes we'd be there if it was a big shoot. And I've seen people shot accidentally at bird shooting.
Okay.
And it's not very nice. Watching someone get shot.
I can well imagine.
But, right, just bear with me on this. 30 yards is 90 feet.
Mm-hmm.
90 feet, I mean, it's quite a distance. And when you're firing at a bird, and quail are small, and you're using a small shot,
Seven and a half, as it turns out, seven and a half shot.
Seven and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's pretty small.
Yeah, tiny.
Yeah, so there'd have been a couple of hundred of them in the shot itself, and he'd have been 90 feet away. Well, you'd be painting a circle about 30 feet across is the area the shot's going to be traveling through when it gets to him. Roughly. I mean, I can't remember the exact rule, but it's about that.
Yeah.
So this guy got a couple of hundred of them in him, though, up to less than 200, wasn't it? More than five and less than 200 were the accurate numbers they handed out, wasn't it?
That's what I heard, yeah.
So he was about 4 feet from him, then?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that makes you begin to wonder. A friend of ours in the Tom Hartman chat room last night pointed me to a couple of articles that showed some real discrepancies. On the one hand, Cheney said he turned counterclockwise, and Mrs. Alexander said he turned clockwise. Mm. There are holes in this story that just won't quit. But don't worry, Andy. The so-called liberal media has declared this story over.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, personally, I reckon it was the ambassador to Switzerland that shot him. It's all a big cover-up.
I've just about gotten to the point where I believe that is the fact.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's scratch that one. It's a non-story anyway. We know Cheney's a killer. What does it matter if he actually tries to do it for real?
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
The guy's now apologized for being shot by Cheney. I thought that was fantastic.
I noticed that. You know, I apologize for all the problems I've caused the Cheney family. Well, hell's bells, Andy. You'd apologize, too, because, you know, I mean, look at that headline, for heaven's sakes. Man shot by Cheney leaving hospital. You never know where this guy's going to show up.
People were going, he's going to be there waiting for him. I think it might have impinged upon the headline writer there. Maybe that's what they were wishing for, anyway. What can you do, eh? I mean, okay, and then we get on to Cheney and his declassification of stuff that wasn't declassified, but it is now because he just decided it was declassified, yeah?
Yeah, well, you know, because he wanted it to be.
Yeah, because he wanted to, well, put someone into, like, hot water and destroy a story against them. So he just decided there and then, well, I don't know about him, but, I mean, look, right, I've signed the Official Secrets Act. I used to work for the Foreign Office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my dad's side of the family have worked in the Foreign Office, like me and my sister did as well. Nepotism's a great thing, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It's the only way you can get security clearance for it, frankly, do you know what I mean? But yeah, I worked there, and, you know, if I was, like, allowed to produce some information for the outside world to see, it would have come down from wherever, and it would have been marked secret or top secret, and that would have been stamped with declassified, and it has to have, like, two or three signatures, depending on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to be, you know, you've got to be able to know who they are and phone them up.
Yeah, there's been a sort of consortium or collegiality of agreement that it's okay to let this stuff out.
Well, yeah, but that's because all those CNN and well, et cetera, the other, I'm not even talking about phone news here. I mean, you know, let's get real, they're not a news station. But CNN and all that lot want a slice of Fox's action, don't they? They want that. The president will tell us stuff, maybe. And so they're willing to excuse anything.
Well, you know, they'll protect us. They wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't do this if it was bad. They only do good. They're the, you know, they're the good. They're the white hats. You know, they're not in league with the terrorists. They cherish our freedom. That's why we have to give it up.
Well, let's get back to the in league with the terrorists thing, and we're going right back now. Okay. Does anybody in America know a guy has heard of a guy called Leo Strauss?
I imagine they have, yes.
Have you?
I have.
Good. Right. A documentary was done over here by the BBC, and it was mentioned, Tom Hartman saw it, I think, and he mentioned it on his show, and then some senator was talking about it. Senator for Georgia, I believe. A woman, I can't remember her name. Yeah, she was talking about it in the Senate.
Cynthia McKinney?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. She was talking about it in the Senate, and of course, because she said Dick Cheney's a liar, which is basically she was quoting from this thing, she was doing whatever it is you call it, reading it out. Is it reading into the record?
Or? Yes.
Right, okay, cool. I'm still not too hot on all the terms you guys use. I mean,
you're getting better all the time.
Well, I'm not too hot on the terms that we use over here. They're pretty arcane. So. But yeah, she read it out, and I mean, basically, she was quoting Tom Hartman, who was quoting this documentary called The Power of Nightmares.
Yes.
Now, this documentary is outstanding. I mean, the guy that does it is one of these, like, ferret-type dudes. He just, you know, I mean, he'll walk into a basement full of triads armed with machine guns and ask them what's going on and stuff, you know what I mean? Just
right.
Absolutely insane for a story. And he did this one basically on Al-Qaeda and the neocons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a parallel track. It's three parts.
I have it saved on my hard drive right now, and it's on the weekend watch list.
Yeah, yeah. No, you have to watch that. It's just so well explained, you know what I mean? It's like an idiot's guide to modern geopolitics.
That's right up my alley, then.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I was like, before I watched it, I was like, I know there's something going on here, you know, and people are going, oh, it's the Illuminati, oh, it's the rich people.
Trilateral Commission.
Like, yeah, rubbish, none of that. It is literally the neocons. And they've been playing you guys since the 60s.
Yeah, well,
since... They've been playing you. You've all been played. Tell every Republican, do you like being ripped off? And they'll go, nope. They go, well, you have been by the Republican Party.
You've been willingly letting them do that to you.
What
yeah, we have.
How do we wake people up?
Frankly, I don't think as a general statement, Andy, I don't think you do.
Fair enough.
I've been reading this wonderful book by a man named Jeff Biggers called The United States of Appalachia.
All right.
And it talks about how so many of the things that we take for granted began here in these hills. And one of the things they mention is something called a critical turning point in the American Revolution, and we'll just agree to disagree on this one. I'm kidding. But the Battle of King's Mountain was a bunch of rebels on one side, and you know, mountaineer rebels with long rifles and that kind of thing, and a bunch of Tories, conservative colonists, supporters of the crown, led by an English army officer, actually a Scottish army officer named Ferguson. But you know, it was the same thing back then. You know, no more than 30-40% of people even wanted independence from Great Britain. They had to be dragged kicking and screaming into independence.
Well, I mean,
and,
you know,
and the same thing obtains today, Andy.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem is there's the whole the counter argument is always there, isn't it? People don't want to change, and that's their argument. No, things are okay. But I mean, I don't know. The United States at the moment just scares me because you're not a United States anymore. You're I don't know. You know, the media present this. Oh, the American people are 60% behind the president. Honest. Look, the whole time, and obviously it's probably more the opposite, 40% behind him, if that.
Yeah.
You're literally so schismed, I don't see how, you know, how people can bridge gaps, and...
Well,
you know,
the thing is, if our side, I mean, I was being a little bit facetious, Andy, but if our side will only realize that it takes a little bit of dedication, it takes a little bit of effort, but we're dealing with the Wile E. Coyote of American politics. I don't know if you're into American cartoons or not, but...
Yeah, no, I love the Roadrunner.
Well, you know who we're dealing with, you know, Wile E. Coyote, super genius. That's the Republican right. These people think that they're geniuses and they're actually dumb.
Yeah, well, okay, well, here we go then. What we've got to do is we've got to pitch it to people correctly, right?
Right.
Let's start on the sales tactic. So... Okay, here's the thing. Go up to a Republican. This is for anyone who's listening. Please try this. Go up to a Republican. Say to them, is America the best country in the world? Now, we all know what the answer to that is going to be. It's going to be yes.
Darn tootin' it is, and if you don't think so.
You're damn right, yeah. So you get the yes answer off them. Now, perfect. You hold them to that yes. And then you say, so why does the best country in the world treat its people worse than, say, Britain? Don't say Japan. Don't say Germany. They'll raise too many old ghosts. Say Britain, because you guys love to look down your noses at Britain. The old country.
They're verging on being communists there, Andy. They got that socialized medicine, and I expect they'll be full on communist in another 10-15 years.
But you see, the thing about that answer is, then you just say, well. They're not communists because business in Britain and business in Europe in general is doing better than business in America.
Well, and business in Britain in general owns a whole great big honking load of business in America.
Yeah, point out that all the successful businesses in America are mostly owned by British companies. And then they'll go, huh? You go, yeah, and you know why that is? Because the British companies can sit in Britain and they don't have to worry about paying healthcare costs and they pay a fair tax. Most of the time, except for the oil companies.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have to keep hitting it. You know, the companies pay a fair tax. They pay less compared to the cost they have in America, and yet they still get more work. and more work out of a person in Britain than you do in America.
Just out of curiosity, Andy, what is what's an ordinary Joe get in the way of vacation time?
Over here?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, you get a bunch of, like, national holidays, like everybody gets.
Bank holidays and Boxing Day and, you know, all those fun ones.
You get about, I think you get 8 of them in Scotland and 6 in England and Wales. And then you get 6 weeks holiday.
Huh?
You're paid.
6 weeks?
Paid.
No, you don't. You're just doing that to pull our leg.
No, that's absolutely right. Now, there are some jobs where you won't get as much. Now, fair enough, there are some jobs where you won't. But most of the time, that's a kind of voluntary arrangement anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you can decline all the holiday you want and get paid extra for it and stuff a lot of the time. But when you're talking about, you know, McDonald's, stuff like that, yeah, they have to pay you for your holidays. So, you know, okay, you've got to work there for a year before you get paid for your holiday. But, you know, hey, you can't expect to take a job and then go on holiday straight
away. But, like, you can take 2 weeks and go down to Mallorca or over to the south of France or down to Brighton or something. 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And when you're sick, you get to go to the doctor.
Yeah, well, when you're sick, you have 3 days of, if you're not particularly ill, then you write yourself off with a form that saves time and money for the NHS called the self-certification form, basically covers being cold and flu-y. And if you're sick, yeah, you go to a doctor, the doctor writes you a sick note. You get signed off from work. If you're stressed and you're breaking down and you're going to go nuts, do you know what happens?
What?
They write you a note, and if you need medication, well, you can have it. I don't really like that sort of idea. But you don't have to go to work, and you do get paid, and the job's not allowed to fire you.
And your economy isn't in wholesale collapse?
No, our economy's growing. Now, it's not growing like China's, but it's growing at a steady rate, and that's what you want. I mean, China's economy is going to go nuts and then fall apart in the next 10 years.
Probably, yeah. Good point.
Probably. America's economy is probably going to collapse in 2 to 3.
Well, that's because the Chinese are going to call their notes.
Yeah, when they do, we will. You can believe that.
I know. I mean, you know, all's fair in love and war.
Oh, absolutely. All's fair right up until the point we stick the knife in you and twist it. Because that's how politics and business is. And let's be honest, now business is politics. You know, hey,
that's what this is, Andy. This is business.
Absolutely.
And if we're not prepared for the world business climate, and one of those things I honest to God believe is universal health care, then we're going to be in the tank down the road.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, you know, even China's got effectively universal health care for what they can afford, and their health care system's improving daily. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In America, your health care system's getting worse.
Well, you've got Americans who buy round-trip tickets and fly to India.
Yeah, for sure. Some of the best hospitals in the world are in India.
But see, we don't believe that because, you know, they're not quite as white as we are, Andy.
Well, no, they're quite, some of them are
downright brown.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know. I mean,
it makes your head hurt. It makes you, you know, who, where, how did we let
here's the thing. Ask them if they're good enough to deserve health care. Aren't you good enough? Don't you deserve health care? Bingo. You can't argue with that, can you? You're a Republican. You don't think your kids deserve to be cared for by the state that you pay taxes for. You don't think your kids deserve care. What kind of parent are you? Social services.
Oh, I love it. I love it, Andy. So good to talk to you tonight. We've got to run on, but I tell you, I really do. I look forward to our Friday night conversations because I love the perspective you bring. Yeah, if we could just get talk radio to catch on in Britain.
Well, you know,
I'll come over and take the 6 weeks vacation, believe me.
Do it, man, do it. Well, yeah, we'll have to do some jobs on that. But, you know, hey, Skype's coming and VoIP's coming and stuff like that. Maybe we can link up some shows and stuff transatlantic.
That would be fun. You know, we're working on that every day. We're going to try to take the next step with a lot of this voice over internet telephony. And let folks call in that way too. I got to do a little tweaking. You know, you were talking about, you know, British goods, British services, British business. When we were equipping this studio, the board that I'm using right now.
Yep.
Allen and Heath.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, we make fantastic electrical equipment. You know what I mean? It's always solid and it works.
Yeah.
What do you want?
And is there anything more fun to drive than a little Triumph Roadster?
Well, no.
Granted, if there's no oil in the floor, there's no oil in the car, but, you know. But yeah. there's so many wonderful things that are going. And, you know, it's not just the UK. You know, everybody says that the German economy is collapsing.
rubbish.
Yeah, I know.
The German economy was built so it can't collapse. I mean,
did you see where the Swedes said that they plan on being an utterly non-fossil fuel economy by 2025?
Yeah, they're going to do it.
Yeah, they will. And these people live where it never gets warm.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, what does that say to us? You know, it can be done.
Well, how big is the salt flats? How big are the salt flats? I mean, there's that huge like area of
Nevada. It's a great big dried up ancient seabed.
Yeah, so cover that with solar panels. Bingo.
Well, in a story I saw the other day, there is some polymer that's been invented out there that can literally be sprayed on stuff, and it's a solar collector that collects not UV but infrared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can coat roofs with it and just.
Well, you can coat the back of a sweater with it and run a cell phone.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But, you know, we can't have that because if it's not fossil fuel-based, if you don't have to blow up a mountain to get at it, we don't want it.
No, it's no fun otherwise, is it?
Oh, God. Andy, you have yourself a great weekend. Such fun chatting.
See you now.
Bye now.
Bye.
And let's go to Rick real quick, calling from Panama City, Florida. Hey, Rick, you're head on. Other button, dear. There we go. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
I tell you what, I'm having a blast.
I hear that. Good to hear Andy. I love those guys from England. I listened to a guy named Paul, I think his name is Paul Watson. He works with Alex Jones, and they've always got a lot to say over there. They're able to look at the situation from a unique, objective perspective, and not to mention they got the great BBC working for them. So I'm glad that they're getting calls from abroad. But what I wanted to talk to you about was a couple of things, and if you have to go to break, if you could hold me, I would appreciate it. I sent you a link to, they released a video today, and I just emailed you a link. Actually, I used my, I just reinstalled the operating system, so you're not going to recognize the email, but it will be, it'll say help, and that's my webmaster.
Okay, yeah, I've gotten a couple of things from help.
Okay. At any rate, there's a link to it there, and I want you to take a look at it. You'll notice that in some very strategic places, now they're saying this the entire video, and it is long. It's 28 minutes and 32 seconds. And in strategic places, you will see the video jump and a lot of missing time.
Okay.
Although they want to claim that it's the entire video. You will see what they did to this guy. They tried to blur it a lot of times, but then as it got more intense, for one reason or another, they did tweak the focus. And what they did to this kid is basically he was in the throes. We now know that the kid was not well. But what they did to him, instead of helping him and giving him medical aid, was they tortured him. It's on the video. You can see it.
Oh, no.
You will see them on top of him, pushing his face into the dirt, squeezing his face, twisting his head, twisting his arms out of shape, applying chops and pressure points, putting knees down on them, all. And then finally this fat, bleach blonde nurse, who's been there forever, really loves their work. She's out there, and she does absolutely nothing until they have dragged him in the dirt and done all these things to him, and he is finally, he's collapsed. He's out of it. It isn't until that point.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is, oh, God.
Some 20-some-odd minutes into this before she applies her stethoscope. Now, here's what I want everybody that's listening to the show right now to just get, you know, take a deep breath, because what I'm about to tell you, you're not going to believe. The coroner, who's famous for all kinds of very strange rulings, depending on who you are in Bay.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this the same coroner that did Lori Klaasuta's?
I believe so.
Oh, God.
This kid, after everything he went through, the determination is he died of natural causes.
Holy crap. Yeah. Rick, is there a link to the... I mean, could you, like, pop into the Hartman chat room and post a link to this? Is it hard to get to? Or I mean, I want people to be able to see this, not just me.
Well, I've never been there. How do I get to it?
TomHartman.com.
That's, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Tom with an H and Hartman with two N's.
Do I have to register or anything?
It's nothing fancy. Just pick yourself out a screen name and a log in and go in.
Okay, because I have been to your forum board there.
Yeah.
Took a look around.
It's a cesspool.
Yeah, quite frankly, I don't want to go there.
No, I don't.
I mean, I think you're going to have a lot of new people that don't want to go there.
I know, and you know, I leave it like that, Rick, because I figure, you know, we've got some knuckle walkers, some mouth breathers, some bush voters there, and they're really nasty. And I figure if liberals can't fight against them, then we're in real trouble for the big one.
Well,
but again, you know, a lot of people say, you know, why waste my time? But
well,
no,
yeah, I mean, they just rely on these personal attacks. There's really very people. I see some people try to have a discussion, but it's just
yeah. And if folks want to go by, it's headonradio.com. Just sign on in. The message board's free. And duke it out. But no, what I'm getting at is just I hope that there's some way to I'd like for people to see the link to this horror.
Well, yeah, I have no problem if they allow HTML or whatever it is that they allow me to put in there.
You can post a URL in there, you know.
Okay, no problem. I'll get on over there after I get done talking with you.
Okay, yeah.
But you know,
natural causes.
Natural causes is the ruling. The ACLU is down here, really putting up a stink. They had a big thing up on the Capitol. They're demanding the arrest of the officers. So far, it's all like no, no, no. The press asked for the identification of the 9 officers involved, and no, due to security.
Well, yeah, because the Muslims might want to get them.
Well, yeah. Well, they said, well, that some of them have gotten death threats. And, you know,
you murder a 14-year-old boy, I think you bought yourself a couple of death threats.
Well,
but that's just me.
Here's the funny thing about it. They're big, bad boys, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they're real tough guys. I mean, what are they afraid of? They carry the badge and the gun. These guys here are not your, you know, they're not jailers. These guys are, you know, they're just like road cops, you know. So I don't know what they're worried about. That's their living. That's what they do for a living. I mean, most guys that end up at the boot camp, I've been told, and this is only hearsay, but what I hear is they end up there because they have, problems. And so they try to put them in situations where they're either riding a desk or they end up at the boot camp or they're guarding others. So it's more like a disciplinary move to end up there. Although there are many that sign up because you can tell by their short-cropped Gestapo-like haircuts, and they're all pumped up, a lot of them. You got some fat ones out of shape. But, I mean, you know, you can just tell that.
You got some roid rage going on, that kind
of
thing, probably.
Yeah, and they're ex-military, and they just couldn't stop killing people and breaking things, so they needed a place to go to be able to carry on their hobby of sadism. So, and the thing about this, as you watch this video, you'll see that, during the crisis, when they're not doing something to this kid, they're milling around, shooting the breeze like this happens all the time. And it's not a big deal. It's just some, you know, black kid on the ground suffering and foaming at the mouth. It's nothing to it. They're drinking water. And then you watch them throwing water around on different areas where there's blood spots. And then the video will jump. And the next thing you see is in 2 different places on the right side and the left side, bloody rags or cloths or something. So, you know, in Bay County, let me tell you something. In Bay County, they have cops who try to fake the attempted murder of themselves by shooting their own vest.
Oh,
okay,
God.
We had a cop do that down here because he wanted to be able to collect disability. So he shot his own vest, and then he sent every cop in Bay County out looking for a certain year, like a 1979 blue LTD. And these cops were on that, you know, that blue revenge streak. They were stopping.
Oh, sure.
I mean, if your car was blue, it didn't have to be an LTD. It got to the point where they were stopping everybody. And had they found a blue LTD with some people in it, my guess is that they would have fired probably, 41 shots into the car.
Yeah, a little Amadou Diallo kind of moment there. Yeah,
yeah, you know, get a little warning shot, 41 of them in your head. And we've had that. We've had cops that abuse the new computer systems to stalk women down here.
Oh, geez. I tell you what, we do have to pause for a minute, Rick. I'm going to put you on hold for a minute and come back. And
I appreciate it.
We'll finish fleshing this out. Okay, quick break. Land of the free, right? Home of the brave. It is to weep. This is Head On.
The screen door slams. Mary's dress waves. Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely. Hey, that's me and I want you only. Don't turn me home again, I just can't face myself alone again. Don't run back inside, darling, you know just what I'm here for. So you're scared and you're thinking that maybe we ain't that young anymore. Show a little faith, there's magic in the night.
Indicted for criminal money laundering. Pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts. 100 flights aboard company jets. 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels. $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
That didn't hurt a bit, did it? Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour on this Friday night, I'm Bob Kincaid. At the controls, my lovely wife, Agnes. And we've been chatting with our friend Rick in Panama City, Florida, talking about the, let's say what it is. I mean, this, we call it head-on. We call the show head-on. That's how we do things. And we're talking here about the murder of a 14-year-old child by law enforcement authorities of the Bay County, Florida Sheriff's Office. Agnes, could we get Rick back on line two? You there, Rick?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, great. The link you sent me, www.wjhg.com, that's where this video can be found?
That's correct. I did try to get on Hartman's chat, but I would have to deconfigure my firewalls so much that it just would take too much time.
I understand.
If you could pop it up there, that'd be great.
Sure, WJHG.com, and it's in the lower right-hand menu, Bay County Sheriff's Office Boot Camp Death.
That's right.
And so if you've got, like, a broadband connection watching, it's not going to be any kind of a problem.
Right, and, of course, the video is terribly grainy. I've got a capture card, and I'm going to pull next time they run it. They'll probably only run highlights, which is, you know, not the greatest, but I will pull what I can off, and then I'll post it, and then I'll send you a link.
Okay, that would be great, and I've got it, and then I'll talk to one of our other friends, and we'll put it up on a website somewhere where perhaps people can view it.
It's just something that people got to see, because like I was saying about down here, they've got a really weird mentality down here. Like, for instance, every time they refer to us, even when they're holding a news conference, it'll always come out, the civilians. They call us civilians.
Yeah, because they think they're living in a military dictatorship, and they're the military, and they're the dictators.
Right, and I'm telling you, I don't have the latest vehicles or anything like that, because I spend my money, and my kids spend all their money on technology. Like, if you know, we like to say our little house is a hot-wired outhouse, you know?
Yeah.
But if you just drive down the road and the way they look at you, it's with this animosity and hate. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know that if you were driving a brand new Caddy, they're not going to give you a second glance, you know? And down here, there's just a lot of working people, and most people are seasonal workers. And if they're not doing that, they're ending up working at the Corrections Incorporated.
Well, that's like that video you sent me about, you know, the one titled America's Brutal Prison System. It starts in Stark, Florida.
Oh, sure.
And the entire town works for the prison system.
Yeah, it's just, and that's not unique. I mean, like the ones who worked at Attica, for instance, that was they were all locals as well. And
sure.
I understand that they're going to become a big employer. But the problem with this idea of these prison corrections incorporated pay-per-view prisons, I like to call them, is that they turn around and eliminate. They destroy the job market in a lot of ways, because they'll pay a slightly higher salary, not much, but a slightly higher salary than anybody else, and they'll suck up the labor pool, and nobody else wants to come in. So it's just a terrible situation down here. And the more people that can see this, I just would like it to stay a national story, because maybe, just maybe, something will be done. I mean, we had a detective down here, and he had been on the force for so long, 14, 15 years or longer. And this guy was so dirty and so rotten that they had to turn around and consider whether they were going to throw out the cases that he had been involved in. In the end, I mean, we're talking about evidence planting was very much like that, what happened in California on a much smaller level. I can't remember the case of the group out there, but in California, but it was like that, if anybody remembers what I'm talking about. At any rate, in the end, they decided not to, of course, and let everything stand, because we had this guy named Appleman, who was this prosecutor who wanted to further, he wanted to be either a congressman or a senator, and probably would have made it, except for it turned out he was breaking the law when he was running for election with all these illegal campaign contributions and all this dirty money. Well, that, of course, All the charges were thrown out, and then he was appointed as the state's attorney down here.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's the house of Bush. We get the whammy.
Well, and like I keep saying about George Bush, the same thing applies to Jebby. The head of the state sends his character downward. And so, just as with George Bush, he turns us into a coward nation. Jeb, look at what a great parent he was, Rick.
Oh, these guys.
His daughter's a junkie. His son does personal property vandalism.
Right.
One of them gets busted at the University of Texas, drunk out of his mind.
Right, and then there's the daughter. They made a big example out of her. I love it. She's the one that likes to do ecstasy and every other drug under the sun.
Well, she was so coked up in rehab that her own fellow patients dropped a dime on her.
Well, yeah, and then they turn around and say, "Well, she's gonna do hard time." Well, they put her in jail for this tiddling little amount of time, but first they cleared the entire cell block. And she was all by herself. Her cell door was never locked, and her food was catered. Okay, so she.
I'll tell you what. That's that hard. That's that Bush hard time.
Okay, one last thing to cover because it's very important.
Okay.
Did you get a chance to see Bush do his little speech? Fox covered it.
I saw a few minutes of that today.
Okay, this was the faith-based initiative crap or something that was going on. Anyway, I knew it was coming just by the way he was talking. He's so transparent, but he finally fulfilled, my psychic credentials by going right into his guest worker program.
Well, the part that I caught, Rick, was this, and anybody, I guess maybe the mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging faithful don't think it was, but I saw, I can spot a plant from a mile away, the lady who stands up and says, "President Bush, could you please do something about them people in Uganda?"
Oh, yes. That's right where I turned it off. I went back to C-SPAN. I couldn't take it anymore. Right.
And he says, "Boy, I sure never would have expected to get that question here today."
Oh, yeah, yeah. But let's just start out with what he said about the guest worker program. He's talking about, these are just poor people coming through the desert on a truck and putting all this cottage industry in there, the coyotes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I know. I remember the coyote reference.
Yeah, yeah. And then he goes, these are people that they just want to work. They want to do jobs that Americans won't do.
Yeah, that insult.
Yes. I mean, the thing he leaves out is the reason why Americans don't want to do it because they got a problem with those $3 and $4 an hour slave wages. Okay?
Yeah,
or by the box. Because when I was a little kid, I'll tell you about that, what we had to pick. We went across Route 66 and we were poor. But anyway, so then he goes from, it goes from picking oranges. And jobs that people don't want to do, Americans don't want to do, then the next breath, after he makes that whole point about how it's not about taking American jobs, he says, wouldn't it be nice, just think of how great it's going to be when some guys, some fellas come walking up to you and they can show you their card. They're here to roof your house. They're here to roof your house. And you don't have to worry about whether they're legal or not because they got the guest worker card. Now, we just jumped from picking oranges and jobs that Americans don't want to do.
To the building trades.
To the building trade. And I had no idea. I know a whole bunch of guys down here in the trade. And I'm going to have to ask them if it's true they don't want to do these jobs. Okay? Because according to Bush, they're part of all the jobs that Americans don't want to do.
Yep. Americans don't want to roof houses. Americans don't want to put on gutters. Americans don't want to hang siding. Americans don't want to do replacement windows. Americans don't want to build buildings.
Yeah, well, they just built a new Sonics drive-thru down here, and one of my younger kids worked there for 5 years, just got out of there. And they came in a team, and there was America there.
I don't, it's something, Rick, that most people don't get to see or don't know about. It's like the way that Walmart builds a store, okay?
Right.
When Walmart builds a store, what you see is the footers go down. Okay, they do all their dirt work. They might even hire union guys to do the dirt work. All right, you know, the dozer stuff, the landscaping, whatever. So the dirt work gets done, the footers get dug and poured, then the thing goes, the walls go up, the roof goes on, and then they bring in the Mexicans and lock them in, and the rest of the store gets built.
That's right. They did it with the Burger King down here, they did it with the Sonics, and a bunch of places. I mean,
I don't want people misunderstanding that I got something against Mexicans or Guatemalans or Hondurans or El Salvadorans or anything.
Everybody knows better than that. You don't even have to qualify it with me. I know better than that. But for Pete's sakes, you got to protect the American worker.
Well, you've got to protect the American worker. And frankly, if we're going to be human about this, Rick, you got to protect that Mexican Salvador. And what, you got to protect that worker too.
I'm not against him coming in and sheetrocking a burger.
Right,
I
but
just
they
want him to get $15 to do it.
Exactly, and I want him not to die in the effort.
That's right. But for some reason, the whole idea of the way Americans view this awful thing about good-paying jobs, it's a horrible crime in America to have a good-paying job unless you're a white-collar worker, then the sky's the limit. But if you're blue-collar, for Pete's sakes, don't make a dollar. You know, it's bad. And if you're, you know, if you're going to get around $6, $7, well, then you're just perfect. And if you're, from Mexico or someplace, that makes it even better.
Well, I've gotten emails asking me, Rick, you know, are you pulling our leg? Do you really, I forget the name of the coal company. It's a Massey subsidiary down in Kentucky. He has applied to the government of the state of Kentucky. That Kentucky has a law, thou shalt speak English if thou wouldst go into the mines. And this guy has, this Massey Energy executive has applied to the state government of Kentucky to waive that law so that they can bring in Mexican miners.
Yeah, and they'll go in too, and they won't get paid anything, and there will be no safety.
They'll go in for $5.35 an hour.
Darn right they will, because they have to, because they're desperate. But they'd love to go in for $15 or $20 or $25.
Sure,
you know. So this whole business, I mean, just turn around and I know a bunch of guys that need jobs down here. Let them go pick oranges for $8, $10, $12, and they'll do it. But if you're going to ask them to do it for a buck a crate, or for $2 or $3 an hour, or something ridiculous like that, of course they don't.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, these guys come into the mines up here. They're going to, you know, Massey's just going to time travel 110 years and start paying them by the ton again.
That's right. Now,
and swear that the bottom of the hopper's full of slate.
All right. So I you're absolutely right. And if people don't understand. I mean, I keep trying to get this through people's heads. I was in a railroad union, and let me tell you something. There ain't nothing like a union labor force. You get quality labor from your people, and you get a level of professionalism in the blue-collar industry that you don't usually get. You don't usually get it, and I'm not insulting anybody that's not in the union. What I'm saying is you got it something that you're willing to do your very best for because it's that good. And then and when you get hurt, the company can't turn you out on the street and throw you to the wolves.
Well, Rick, one of the things that absolutely blows my mind is that, you know, all these conservatives, the Donald Wildmans, the American Family Association, all these cretinous people that think that there is some golden age of America that they want to go back to. They want to go back to, you know, Ward and June Cleaver, right?
Right.
Well, that Ward and June Cleaver era that they're so fond of was the highest that point in time was the highest single national membership in organized labor in American history.
Well, they don't want that part. They got,
No.
They got another little thing. You know, they want to be able to have their little Saturday night meetings and go out and hang a few and. You know, they're looking for the good life where the little guy you can step on his face with your boot and nobody says a thing. You know, they don't kid me, these Dixiecrats. One last thing about this guest worker program, okay?
Okay.
I was talking to a fella that, you know, he's pretty connected, and here's the way I understand the way this thing, once it comes to full bloom, is going to work. And please, everybody, try to find out if this is true. I believe he was telling me the truth. This situation is going to end up with, once it's fully implemented, is that your employer is going to be obligated to give you the first right of refusal. He's going to have the right to advertise in Mexico or El Salvador or anywhere he wants for your position. And if they're willing to take it at that wage, he has to, by law, he's going to have to say to you, you're an American citizen, you're an American worker, you come first. If you'll do this job for the wage I have advertised, then you have the right to the position. Now, the way they're going to do this is when they finally get their way, if things don't change, they will, is they're going to do that kind thing that Newt Gingrich used to talk about and help us all out by getting rid of the minimum wage.
Right, because it's bad for business.
That's right. It's bad.
It's un-American.
It's bad for people. That's what Newt said. The minimum wage is a horrible burden on the American worker. Okay, just like unions are a horrible burden on the American worker. And if people don't think that this guest worker program isn't going to affect them on every level, you're not looking at the big picture, because that's where this thing is going to end up.
Well, it boils down to union busting.
Well, yeah, union busting and again...
And American worker busting.
That's right, because this trade playground that we are on is not sustainable. We will not be able to keep running these huge trade deficits and compete in this global market until the American wages are down to the dollar, $2, $3, $4 mark. It can't be done, because you can't compete with slave labor, and you certainly can't compete with slave wages.
Well, Rick, you know, after all, he said he was out to create an ownership society.
Well, yeah. I mean, sort of like a Klingon Empire or something. I mean, the guy's crazy. But he gets everything done. He's crazy like a fox. And for all that hokum he came out and spewed to these religious nuts today, who are looking at him with such weird, almost drooling adulation.
You saw that too.
Yes. I mean, it was like they were spellbound, literally. And it's terrifying to know that these people will vote away their best interest every time, because they're locked into this crazy zealousness that has nothing to do with Christianity or God. They're just nuts. They're, you know, these are the guys. Remember the guy there? He's, you know, as soon as the last tree is cut, Jesus will return.
Yeah.
You remember him? As soon as they said the dominionist, who, as soon as if we stack the bodies high enough, we'll force Jesus to come back. They don't even believe in God's laws, his order, his plan.
I love this notion that they can lasso Jesus and drag him down from heaven.
I know. They think they're in charge. So what they're basically saying is, God is created in my image. That's all they're saying.
God
answered. They don't have any faith. They have no authenticity as Christians. I mean, my goodness, you can't espouse that kind of nuttiness and then throw away even the basic commands of Jesus. Love your neighbor as thyself. Go out and feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the prisoners. I mean, these people are into some other kind of, what is that Bruce Coburn said? This is, Bush and his followers are like dizzy monsters who eat black holes in the spirit world.
That about work. That's beautiful.
You know, he said that on one of his songs. He didn't name Bush, but that's a description of Bush and his people right to the T. I mean, Hopi Indians are just so terrified that they're holding fast and councils all, you know, daily, just to try to get the.
Well, they, according to their cosmology, we're close to the. We're close to the end point.
Yes,
and the same thing applies to Maya cosmology. What is it, December
23rd, 2012? Yeah, yep. And biblically speaking, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that that's in line too. I mean, I just saw an episode. They were really happy about it. These American corporations are starting to put chips in people's hands, baby.
Yep. The little RFID chips.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, we've got to hit it. But boy, what a great wide ranging conversation. I really enjoy these.
The whole gamut. But it's good talking to you, Bob. Thanks for letting me go on. I'm sorry to get so wild about it, but this stuff drives me nuts.
Well, I think we gotta go on about things. I mean, if you were just sitting here speaking Jabberwocky, I would have cut you off 25 minutes to go.
Oh, I do appreciate the time, and hello to everybody out there that's listening, and thanks for listening, and thank you, you carpenters, you are electricians, or who's those guys again that sponsor you?
The carpenters and millwrights.
Oh, right, to you guys. I mean, shout out to you, thanks, and keep on pumping the money out, because Bob's got to get there. If he gets there, we get there.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, we'll see you.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Bye now. This is... Like I said, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did, because this is what has to start happening in America. I've said time and time again, I loathe that version of talk radio where the guy, you know, mega dittos from Tillman's Corners, and, well, that's right, now let's talk about me. I despise that. I loathe it. I hate it. It's what you get when you listen to the right wing, because the right wing assumes that its callers don't have sense enough to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel, okay? And they're right. That's why that paradigm took hold in right-wing talk radio, because you can't let a wing nut go for very long, because they're not very intelligent. See, there, Mavis, Bob's being an elitist again. Well, I am. If that's the definition of elitist, that I can recognize who is intelligent and who's not after years and years and years and freaking years of listening to right-wing talk radio. You know, I hear there's a race of men in the trees, Rush. That's right. And, you know, the Democrats put them there, my friend. But we're going to start a national conversation. And I hope it's starting a little bit at 3 hours a night right here. Because if it is, we've got a half a chance. We've got a half a chance to change this nation. What Rick said was absolutely true. This business with guest workers, it's not about caring about the little Mexicans. I mean, do you remember back when, what was it? Was it when George H.W. Bush was being nominated to run for president the first or the second time, and they took the camera over to that hateful old beast, Barbara, and she was pointing out her grandchildren, and she said, "And there's Jenna, and there's Barbara, and over there, those are the little brown ones." She did that. Yeah, Mrs. Beautiful Mind did that. Mrs. The Brown People Are Better Off Living in the Astrodome did that. And those are the little brown ones. She was talking about Noel and Poppy and, you know, Jeb's little clan. That's how they are.
You said clan.
That's how they are. They don't give a damn about Mexican people or Guatemalan people or Bolivian people or Panamanians or Costa Ricans or El Salvadorans or Hondurans or Cubans. They don't care. What they care about is cheap labor. This is a conversation about the return to slavery. And this is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. I'm not surprised that greedy and ambitious people sometimes lie and do far worse than lie in order to get what they want. In their minds, the ends really do justify the means, and not only are they not ashamed of it, they're proud of it. It shows that they're people who can get things done. That's why so many of these people admire football. They see it as a microcosm of the real world, where the right combination of talent and teamwork equals success. But football is a sport where people are expected to play and win by the rules of the game. And while both players and fans will tolerate a limited amount of going around the rules or using them to your advantage, we wouldn't praise a team if they intentionally set out to injure their opponents or bribe the officials. No decent sports fan wants his or her team to win under such circumstances, and players know that if they go out to injure other players, they face retaliation. So why then do we tolerate this kind of extreme behavior from our political leaders? Certainly who wins and loses in politics has a lot more bearing on our lives than who wins the Super Bowl. The real problem is that what's happening in Washington is just a charade, a circus to keep us distracted while our freedom and our money is being stolen from right under our noses, behind the scenes and away from public view. That's why an independent press, along with an open government, are so important, because it's behind these closed doors where the rules are broken and the results are rigged. And when that happens, everyone loses. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
It loud. Yeah, I'm an old reconstructed it's one of the greatest things Don Felder ever did. Okay, welcome back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. I want to hit the high side of a couple of real hair curlers. I mean, the stuff that sort of makes you tear at your hair, rip your clothes off, and run screaming naked around the room. Because, again, know thine enemy. Know thine enemy. And no, these are not our fellow Americans. These are the enemy, okay? I don't want anybody going, Bob said they was enemies, so I took the 30-30 out and started puffing a few. No, that's not what this is. But at least know that these are not people that are on your side, these right-wing nuts, okay? A couple of things that have just sort of dashed through my mind. This one hit me last night right as I was going to sleep. Now that Dick Cheney has gotten away with attempted murder, the next time you see some pasty-faced, doughy white dude talking about how O.J. Simpson got away with it, can we all agree that we're going to just look at him and say, shut up, Dick Cheney? The O.J. Simpson injustice is over. It's done. Because at least he was put on trial. Dick Cheney, on the other hand, under circumstances that can only be described as highly suspicious, shot a dude and not a second question was asked. So no more talking about O.J. Simpson getting away with it, all right?
We're even. Dick Cheney, Dick Cheney did it for the white people, all right? No more O.J. Simpson jokes, no more O.J. Simpson complaints, no more Mark Furman, no more Marcia Clark. Look at that, I still remember her name. It's all over, it's done, paid has been put to that whole business of, well, you know, if it had been a white man, they'd have put him in the chair. Uh-uh, it was a white guy, and they didn't even put him on trial, okay? So, we're done with that. Now, moving on, it's a real live, honest-to-God Associated Press news story. Unfortunately, this one doesn't have a headline like "Man Shot by Cheney Leaving the Hospital." But you know, those are precious little gems, and you only unearth them periodically. But it's the body of this one that drives you nuts. Dateline Houston Associated Press: Houston's police chief Wednesday this past proposed placing surveillance cameras in apartment complexes, downtown streets, shopping malls, and, wait for it, friends and neighbors, even private homes to fight crime during a shortage of police officers. That's right. There's a shortage of police officers in Houston, Texas, and therefore no better time than the present to stick a camera in your home to watch you, the wife, and the kids. Talk about your reality television. Here's the quote. I know a lot of people are concerned about Big Brother, but my response to that is, if you're not doing anything wrong, why should you worry about it? Woohoo! Chief Harold Hurt told reporters Wednesday at a regular briefing, Houston is facing a severe police shortage because of too many retirements and too few recruits, and the city has absorbed 150,000 hurricane evacuees who are filling apartment complexes in crime-ridden neighborhoods. That's right. It's the people from the Ninth Ward. It's their fault. The city council is considering a public safety tax to pay for more officers. Building permits should require malls and large apartment complexes to install surveillance cameras, Hertz said. And if a homeowner requires repeated police response, it is reasonable to require camera surveillance of the property. I think a lot of people would appreciate the thought of extra eyes looking out for them, said Andy Tayes with the Houston Apartment Association. Now, every night that he's out there, Mike Malloy has been reading, and he says he will do so until he finishes the book. They take him off the air, or he's been reading from 1984. Start at the beginning, go to the end. And early in the process is the whole description of how Winston is constantly watched inside his home. You up for that? I'm not up for that. Not at all. But I did get something from Havoc Mom earlier today from Democratic Underground. A thread called The Perfect Shutdown to Okay to Wiretap, I Don't Have Anything to Hide. You know, just like Chief Hurt said, if you don't have anything to hide, why do you mind if we spy on you? This person wrote, on a work-related board with about 200 members, one of the loudmouth freepers was giving the standard right-wing go ahead and spy on me, I don't have anything to hide routine. Pay attention to this one. You're going to find this one to be handy. You're going to remember this one because somewhere along the way it's going to come in handy. I went to the county website where he lives, looked up his deed and tax bill from the clerk's office online info, posted to the entire group when he bought the house, how much he put down, and how much he borrowed, what the tax bill was for the property, and what date it got paid, and boy was he pissed. I let him rant and rave for a little while, then asked him if he was really sure he'd like Hillary looking into his life and everything that he had going. Credit card purchases, rental cars, how much his phone bill was, and who he called, that I had only looked up a fraction of the information that is online and already part of the public domain. Then I explained how I could have made up and sent him an official notice from his mortgage company telling him that his loan had been sold and had him mail his house payment somewhere else, that in 3 months he'd be in foreclosure and ruined credit, and that he was just one quick thing I could think of to really misuse the information that I looked up from four states away. He now agrees that someone needs to be watching the watchers to make sure that it isn't abused. Thanks for pointing out that thread to us, Havoc Mom. That is a great way to stop a lot of this foolishness. Of course, the problem therein lies in the fact that if 99.9% of the American people said, stop George Bush from spying on us right now, you know what the Senate would do? You know what the United States Senate would do? The United States Senate would do what it did today. The United States Senate would say, there's no need to investigate. They did that yesterday. But yeah, no need to investigate. Really, they did that. So, it's up to us. It is absolutely up to us. Go forward without fear. Let's go to the phones. Ed has been waiting. Hey, Ed, you're head on. Good to talk to you.
Good evening.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I like the conversations that I've caught on there with the folks. Very informative. But one thing that sticks out most is, what the police are doing, and how they're doing the kids, and I spoke of this in the last couple of weeks, the stage that George Bush has set, and the mentality level that the police has got now, just a bunch of overbearing thugs. And they holler about not having enough. Well, I don't know about Texas. Probably they need one-on-one down there, according to what they turned out. But here, you've got one and two in every neighborhood that I see. There's two lives out beyond me, and then three lives on a road between here and Oak Hill. What do they need, one-on-one?
I think there are people out there that are big enough cowards and just chickens in general that they feel like they're not safe unless they are being watched. And the thing is, what they're not safe from, Ed? They're not safe from themselves.
Yeah. And, the way they're setting it up, I don't look at it as today as having cameras in parking lots and like that. I'm looking at what's coming to the future. And that's what they're setting up for. If they get these things through like that idiot in Texas wanted to do, then they're going to have it set up to where you can't blow your nose without them knowing it. This country has become a pitiful place to live anymore. We ought to bring Castro in, put him in as the vice president. I think he could shoot better.
Well, what's the difference?
Yeah, there ain't none. Except he could probably shoot better than Cheney.
Well, that, and he provides health care for his people, and they've got a lower infant mortality rate and a lower maternal death rate in Cuba than we do. But, apart from that.
Yeah. It's, it just burns me up to see cops jumping on and having a 14-year-old kid surrounded and beaten on him. And they just ain't done it to the right one yet. And, when they start getting some blue holes put in them, they'll stop that stuff. I don't know how they come to this this mentality state anyway of thinking that they can bully people around. That's worse than Nazi Germany. In my book, it is when you start beating the kids.
Well, when you say that you are the good people, when you say that you're the best in the world, when you say that you're the light of freedom unto the entire world, and then you do what we do in our prisons and our these juvenile boot camps, it puts the lie to all of that, and it does it before the eyes of the entire watching world, Ed.
Yeah. Well, part of boot camp I'm for, because I think there's a test there, a mental test to see if you break down. And I'm not talking about the drownings and that kind of stuff.
Well, no, I'm talking about these juvenile, that's what they call them. They call them boot camp. But we're talking about juvenile detention facilities.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, that's where this kid was killed in Florida.
Yeah.
In a so-called juvenile boot
camp.
And
this is not the first one. I've seen two specials on that where they had them out in the desert and they died.
Yeah.
But the boot camp that I went through, I think, you know, I saw some stuff going there that smacking and hitting around that wasn't necessary. But I do believe that the guys that go through that part of it, so that I'm just trying to clear myself here, clear it up. I do believe that they ought to have to pass the mental and the physical test, because when they get out in the field, I don't want somebody like George Bush or Cheney or one of those guys, Rumsfeld, backing me. You know, I'd hate to think I had them to watch my back, as big a coward as they are. So I think the test is not like a normal test, because usually you get study for it. This one you learn as you go in boot camp. And I guess I lean that way probably 90%. But this stuff, the way the cops are doing, until somebody starts visiting them at night and let them put their families in stress, then I don't think that's going to stop. And,
well, you know, this kid who was killed, Ed, he was charged with theft. In essence, he was executed
for theft. Yeah. Well, that's what you get when you get them set up to where they're. And I know how they think. They are the arresting officer. They serve the papers. They're the arresting officer, and they're the judge.
And the jury and the executioner.
Right. And it could come to executioner. And I'm not, and like I said before, I don't package everybody in the same package. There's some decent people out there. But the deputies and the state police, most of them, like I said before, if they ain't speeding themselves down the road, they're out chasing some woman. I'm talking about most of them now. And that's what I've seen, and that's what other people seen. And until they get sick and tired of it and quit being such a coward that they won't get on the radio or in the newspaper or whatever and say it, then it ain't going to stop. If you keep letting some, it's like you said about the bully.
Yeah.
If you break his nose or stomp his feet or whatever you got to do, then he's going to bully you every day. The best thing to do is test him and see if he's as good as he thinks he is. And even if he is, he won't come back for more if he can do anything at all.
I know.
So
how about I got run off the road by one the other day, Ed?
Well, there's one of the deputies that drives out through here right up on the yellow line. I thought part of that was mine.
Well, you know, it's all, you know, demand your half the road, and they prefer the middle half.
Yeah. Well, if I got my truck, they ain't gonna get on my side and get by with it. I can tell them right now, and I tell them to their teeth if they want to give me a call here. They know who I am.
Well, I have a feeling they probably do, Ed.
Yeah, and you know what? It don't make a good
whatever. I know.
It don't make no difference. So enough's enough. But those kids, that sends me in orbit when I hear and see what they do.
Well, you know, but you know how it is when you live in a right wing dictatorship. Yeah, that kid, he was 14 years old. He was on the wrong side of the law, and he was the wrong color.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he's a little black young man.
Yeah, they're gonna make sure they never give him no more trouble. Probably, you know, they put the fear of God in him.
Right.
But
and they don't feel bad about it. You know, it's like Rick said in describing it. His death was called natural causes. When there's video of people, you know, crushing his back, grinding his face into the ground, you know, and the whole reason the whole thing started was he said, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," and then they jumped him.
Was there anybody else around besides just the cops?
No, it's a camp run by the Bay County, Florida Sheriff's Office. I mean, it was being videoed, much to their chagrin and their horror.
Yeah. Well, that's another place you need to visit, I guess. But the day's coming. I'm telling you, people ought to wake up and realize who their enemy is. All of them are not in the White House.
No.
A lot of them walking around out here, and what is done is sanctioned or backed by officials, or they just turn their back to it. If they don't back it, they ain't doing nothing about it.
That's right.
So,
our national character comes from our national leadership, Ed.
That's the only trickle down that's getting down.
Exactly. You've got a thug for a president, and people,
a cowardly thug.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it goes with the turf, and people respond accordingly, and they act in accordance with. With what comes to them, with what he does. That's what they told us during the Clinton administration, wasn't it? You know,
yeah.
he had oral sex, and the entire world was going to be getting illicit oral sex as a result of it. I mean, that's what Rush Limbaugh and O'Reilly and Hannity and Savage and all those creeps said.
Yeah. Well, and his other stuff is being passed down. But I'm just totally wondering why. Where are the veterans that fought for these rights? And the stuff was put in our head, what was worth fighting for and standing up for. Where are they now? Have they all passed away?
No, not all of them. But, you know, the World War II guys are mostly past getting up and marching in the streets. Korea. I mean, it's hard to realize that the youngest of the Vietnam veterans is what? How old?
Probably 60, 65 maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Late 50s anyway.
Yeah.
But I go back past there and I'm still able to do something. But I don't know at what point. Even when the blacks hit the street, I don't know what the spark was that ignited that. But it looks like we're working fast toward that.
Well, it does.
If the whites has got enough of guts to stand up. But you know what? I'm convinced that the white American male is about as dueless and spineless when it comes to standing up and doing something. They'd rather shut up and stay in the background. I ain't getting involved, and that's the attitude they got.
Well, there's a whole lot of that out there, Ed. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to light a little bit of a fire here.
Yeah, I know you are. And, you know, I listen to these people that call in from other countries. You know, they really must think we're a bunch of I'll use the term hillbilly.
Well, but that's the thing.
Anybody can qualify to be a hillbilly, can't they?
I think Ed, that we're very, very what happens on this show is very, very refreshing to a lot of folks overseas who listen, for the simple reason that it becomes apparent listening to a show like this and the people who call this show that's not how America is. That there is a core of people who still hold true to the fundamental beliefs that shape and form this nation. Ideas of freedom and equality. You know, we had to fight a civil war over equality, over letting people be full-fledged human beings. And we're still, I know people don't realize it, we're still not done with that civil war.
No, I'm not sure it'll ever be finished because of you got. People like Jeff and R&R and Rush Limbaugh, Steve O'Brien, and that clan in Washington. You know what? They almost express. I was listening to a little bit of Steve O'Brien's show the other morning, and Steve had R&R, the retarded Republican, to call him at home so he could cycle him to the point to where he didn't show he was prejudiced. I know that's what it had to be about because of his attitude.
Yeah, and Ed, folks who listen to this program outside West Virginia might not know about this. What you're talking about is an ugly little unreconstructed racist Republican talker over in Beckley who has a little cadre of, I mean, these guys make Rush Limbaugh's ditto monkeys look smart.
Yeah, they don't know they're in a minority now.
No,
They haven't come. They haven't come to that realization yet, and I really apologize. I forget how wide range your audience is, and you don't hear any of that on.
Well, you know, honest to God, I ought to tape some of it, or I ought to record some of it once in a while, so that people can hear what real live, honest to God, Republican fascists sound like.
Get R&R.
You know what? I may have to do that.
You got a monopoly on ignorance.
I think you've thrown me a pretty good idea here. I'm gonna have to fire up the recorder and let folks hear what I mean. You know, you want an ignorant hillbilly?
Yeah, we got a few of them.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that term. I hate that term to death. But the fact of the matter is, there are, and you know, hillbilly. Nah, I don't claim them. These people are just stupid.
Well, they went to that ignorant school and graduated with honors
or dishonors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey Ed, we got to get out of here, but it sure was fun talking with you.
Thanks for your time.
Take care now.
Alrighty, bye.
Bye now. I got to do that. You guys would get a kick out of it. To hear what passes for right wing thought in southern West Virginia, it's everything that I fight to dispel in the way of rumor and in the way of stereotype. But you know, again, no matter how hard you try, there are some people who are going to bust their rear ends to live up to it every day, and we've got it, and they're there to be heard. And I tell you what, I'll get you a sampling of them fairly soon. You will have a field day, I promise. All right, let's take a brief break. I got to get ice for the big orange. You know how it goes. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The heart is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room. No space to rent in this town. Of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org. You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Trucking right, I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
Oh! Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, last call. Well, you got about 50 minutes to get the fur out from under your saddle, the bee out from under your bonnet. Don't bottle that stuff up for the weekend. Not good for you. Let's see. Now, I mentioned this before we went into the break. Story from the Washington Post, today's issue. Senate rejects wiretapping probe. Senate rejects wiretapping probe. Bleh. First day with the rented lips. In other words, the United States Senate, or rather, in this particular instance, the Republican majority in the United States Senate has said that it's really not interested in finding out why it is that George W. Bush wants to spy on you and spy on me and spy on us. The Bush administration helped derail a Senate bid to investigate a warrantless eavesdropping program yesterday after signaling it would reject Congress's request to have former Attorney General John D. Crisco Guy Ashcroft and other officials testify about the program's legality. Because, you see, it's kind of the same thing that happened with Brownie. You remember how they hung Brownie out to dry testifying before the Senate subcommittee? The Katrina Committee. You remember that? The letters that, and we talked about it here, the letters that were written that said, his lawyer wrote a letter to the White House saying, you know, I'm going to spill the beans. I'm going to talk about anything I darn well feel like talking about if you don't provide me counsel on this, if you don't provide me a defense. And the White House said, screw you, Brownie. We're throwing you to the wolves, baby. Well, the same thing would have applied to John Ashcroft, because he's a private citizen now. He could have been subpoenaed. He could have been subpoenaed. He could have been a contender. He could have been subpoenaed before the Senate Intelligence Committee. And he would have been a private citizen, and there would have been no privilege attached to George W. Bush. He could have been compelled to sing, as it were. But the White House said naughty, naughty to the spineless Republican wimps in the Senate Intelligence Committee. You can't call John Ashcroft. We'll whip you if you do that. We'll take you out behind the barn and hit you with that old razor strop like we do periodically. And the Republican senator said, oh, no, Marsh Bush, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't hit us with the razor strop. We'll do it. We will. Now, you don't want to look at... These are not the droids you're looking for. Move along. And so the Democrat, or the Republicans on the Senate Intelligence Committee whimpered and whined and said... No need to have any hearings on illegal wiretapping. This is what the Watergate affair would have looked like had Democrats not been in control of Congress. And Richard Nixon would have finished his term. Oh, I shudder to think about the future or the present we would be living in right now. Ugh. It's terrifying. Now, meanwhile, however, here's how a Republican responds to the idea of illegal wiretapping. You know, because all this turns around the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA. Well, the way you respond to the White House just tap dancing on doing a flamenco on FISA. The way you respond to that, if you're a Republican, is you do what Mike DeWine is doing. Now, we talked about Paul Hackett, and we've talked about Sherrod Brown. Either one of those gentlemen would be an excellent replacement for Mike DeWine, because how does Mike DeWine respond to George Bush spying on America? Well, Mike DeWine responds by drafting legislation, this is a direct quote from the article, drafting legislation that would exempt the NSA program from the 1978 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. In other words, drafting a law that says spying on Americans, if George Bush wants to, doesn't count. It doesn't have to fall within the law. In other words, Mike DeWine is crafting a law that says George Bush is above the law. Sic semper tyrannis. Sic semper tyrannis. That's some bold legislating there, Senator DeWine. That's some bold legislating. Can you imagine? I mean, why am I surprised? Why are you surprised? We're not. We're not. It's you know, I mean, this is coming from the same people who say, well, you know, Dick Cheney has the power to declassify documents with his X-ray vision. That's what we're talking about. That's who we're dealing with. That is the reality of the situation. But several key Republicans, including House Intelligence Committee member Heather A. Wilson, New Mexico, and Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter, PA, say the NSA program should fall under FISA guidelines. Hooey. Who cares? Arlen Specter said it was very, very important to hold hearings on the domestic spying case. He had torture boy Gonzalez on for one day, asked him if it would be okay to bring Ashcroft in. Now the Bush administration turns around and tells the Congress that they're not allowed to question John Ashcroft. Those are the actions. I mean, am I wrong in this? Help me here. Those are the actions of a king, aren't they? A king tells the legislative body whom it may and may not interview. Not a chief executive. Not a fellow citizen. Unless I'm just absolutely sprayed roach crazy in all of this. It just. Hello? I mean, I understand partisan politics, but what the hell? Are these Republicans not even proud to be members of Congress? Thou shalt not interview Crisco John. You are not allowed. I don't care what party I was in. If I was a member of Congress, I would feel like I had a job to do there. And that job was not perpetual bootlick, perpetual lick spittle to the Bush administration. But that's the way it is if you're a congressional Republican. You completely forswear and give up your constitutional rights to be a separate and co-equal member of the government. God Almighty. Can you imagine being told by the president that you did not have the right to interview a guy who wasn't even in government anymore to take testimony from him? I mean, hell, it'd probably be like Gonzalez. They wouldn't even put him under oath. Because, you know, if we can't trust our former Republican Attorney General, after all, he is best friends with Jesus H. Christ. If you got to put him under oath, then, you know, what's the nation sunk to, after all? This is sickening. I tell you what, let's, before I bust a blood vessel or something, let's go to Bruce on line one. Hey, Bruce, you're head on. How you doing?
You're Bob. I'm Bruce.
I said Bruce.
Okay. I just heard it. Anyway.
Me, Bob.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Me, Bob. You, Bruce.
Me, Bob. You, no. Okay.
No, you,
gonna,
you, Bruce.
I'm going to be confused here, so if we keep doing this.
I understand.
You know, I already have an identity crisis anyway. you know, I do one show, and I'm announcing that I'm doing another. I mean, you know, I don't know. It happens all the time. I wanted to, like, comment on a couple of things tonight, Bob, and the first one is that video that...
Have you seen it?
I watched it in its entirety after, you know, while listening to the show, after, I guess it was Rick?
Yeah.
From Panama City, or wherever he was.
Yeah, Rick from Panama City, Florida.
Came on and gave the URL, and I got to tell you, it completely horrified me. Completely horrified me.
Well, I'm going to watch it after the show's over.
You know, well, I think, and you know, what was the most disturbing thing about it was that there was a nurse who was present for the entire time that they were beating this guy, and she did nothing to stop them. You know.
Well, she needs her license yanked and maybe a little prison time if that's the case.
And the last frame, they actually the deputy had his knee into the guy's, I guess, right at his throat around his chest, and while she was trying to check him for vitals, and then all of a sudden you see all this commotion, everybody walking away from him. You know, like
yeah.
You know. Like rats leaving a sinking ship. It was just appalling. And if anyone hasn't watched that, I think it was WJHG.
I'm checking the email here real quick just to make sure I get it right. Yeah, it's WJHG.com. And if you go down to the lower right-hand menu, it's called Bay County Sheriff's Office Boot Camp Death Complete Unedited Video.
Yeah, just, you know.
It's 28 minutes long.
And, you know, being from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah, where you know a little bit about this kind of thing.
We know a little bit about police brutality.
Yeah.
You know, here. And, it, you know, it happens. Actually, you know, the cops generally shoot an unarmed person here. I think it's like if they don't do it once a year, then they go ahead and do it. They make sure they get it done because they have to have one death a year.
Yeah, and they can only do it in a month that has an R in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is every month, isn't it?
No, well, not quite.
Month.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, but, you know, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, it really, I wonder if that's what they have in store for the rest of us in those concentration camps they're building out west.
I think it is. it's no joking matter. You know, these things are, what was the excuse given for building them, Bruce, that they are temporary reassignment centers in case of dramatic influxes of illegal aliens?
Yes, that is exactly the reasoning.
Why would that happen?
Well, I'm thinking, I don't know. I mean, you know, I couldn't think of any plausible reason. But did you see the movie The Day After Tomorrow? I think it was called.
Yeah.
Where all this huge sudden ice forming everywhere.
Right.
That was the only thing that came to mind, was if some sort of cataclysmic natural disaster, you know, pushed you know, people migratory into our, you know, country. But I mean, that's totally,
well, I'm convinced. I mean, come on, Bruce. I mean, they're built for us.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm sure there's a little bunk out there behind the barbed wire, and it's got a little you know, little plate on the end. It's Bruce, and there's another one, Bob, and you know.
Well, you know, at least we'll be in good company, right?
Well, yeah, at least until, you know, at least until it's time for us to take our shower.
I'll tell you what, though, Bob. I think if it came to that, they wouldn't have to waste the gas to take me there.
No,
because I wouldn't let them. So, you know, they would have to go ahead and do it. But,
well, you know, I believe I got nothing for the National Rifle Association, but I would advise every liberal, every honest to God, constitution loving American within the sound of my voice to acquire firearms, as many as possible. I mean, you know, while it's still legal to own them.
What? You're a liberal and you don't want to take away the guns, Bob?
No, I want more. You know, I'm still upset. I'm still upset that I can't have a jet and a tank and a submarine. Because when my government can have jets, tanks, and submarines, if I don't have jets, tanks, and submarines, I'm not equal with my government.
That would definitely be head-on with Bob Kincaid there.
Yes, it would.
But the last thing, Bob, really was just, you know, you were commenting on the whole illegal domestic spying thing. And it really amazes me. You know, they rolled over today, and you know, the White House says, you know, I'm not going to give you anything, and Arlen Specter's like, okay, let's go have some tea and crumpets, while democracy burns in the background.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, I mean, these people, Arlen Specter, I mean, you know, he's one of those moderate Republicans.
Oh, a centrist.
he's an Alito voting centrist. He's a bowing down and capitulating to George Bush centrist.
I wonder if he's like Joe Lieberman centrist.
No, I think he's a little to the left of Joe.
Oh, really?
Just because, well, I mean, you know, he didn't get invited to the Valentine's Day thing.
That's true.
He didn't get the kiss.
He didn't get the tongue.
Ooh, that's just yucky. But can we please, I mean, I was talking earlier and I said, can we stop with the O.J. Simpson now that that's over? Can we please quit talking also about moderate Republicans? Because if you ever mention moderate Republicans, you get Arlen Specter, Olympia Snowe, Susan Collins, and Lincoln Chafee. And you know what they do? They vote like an 80% Bush party line, if I'm not mistaken.
And that, you know what amazes me? Is that they're called moderate because they might have an official stance on a certain issue, but when it comes down to voting, they vote the other way.
Well, right. I mean, Susan Collins, Lincoln Chafee, and Olympia Snowe, why, they're all pro-choice, but they damn sure voted anti-choice when it came to Alito, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
You know, I don't know why Mainers. I mean, those are some of the most ferociously independent human beings in the United States, and you send Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins to the Senate.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Well, it's a topsy turvy world, but I think the biggest problem we got in politics right now, Bob, is centrism. It is the one thing that is undermining any kind of real change in this country.
Well, you know, for all those people who are into their Bible who listen, centrism is lukewarmness, isn't it, Bruce?
Yes.
And was it Christ who said, "I would that you ran hot or cold, for you are lukewarm, and I will spit you out of my mouth"?
Wow. I don't know. It's the first time I've heard that, but that sounds really cool.
That's centrism. That's moderate. You know, mainstream. I don't ever want to be part of the mainstream in America because, as far as I can tell, the mainstream in America tolerates torture. The mainstream in America puts up with starting wars against countries that didn't do anything to us, Bruce. The mainstream in America doesn't care enough about its fellow man to see to absolutely demand that they be able to go to the hospital or the doctor if they're sick. The mainstream in America puts up with drug companies that want to charge $100,000 a year for chemotherapy drugs. I want no part of that mainstream, Bruce.
No, I don't either. I'm totally with you there, Bob. We can't say certain things on the air, can we?
No, but we can say screw them.
We can say screw them. We can say screw them. Thank you for taking my call tonight, Bob.
Oh, thank you for calling. Don't ever do that again, okay?
Okay, I won't.
Not the calling part, but the thanking Bob part.
Dr. Laura, I'm sorry.
that's our job to thank you, man.
Well,
what kind of fun we got coming up tomorrow night on Fourth Estate and Sunday night on All Things Reconsidered?
We have an action-packed Fourth Estate radio in store for you tomorrow night, and it's going to be focusing on a lot of interesting stories, you know, obviously from Australia and the United States, but one in particular is the Australian terror laws, which is their version of our Patriot Act. And we're going to be taking a look at the similarities and having some attorneys on to talk about that. So.
Oh, Australian attorneys?
Well, I think, yes, one. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that should be interesting.
That'll be very cool.
But
and then wind it all up on Saturday night with a friendly little chat on All Things Reconsidered?
Sunday night, yes.
Yes. Did I say Saturday? Sunday? Yeah. It's all kind of running together.
Sunday night,
I'm sorry.
Yes, we'll wind down the weekend and give a sneak peek at what's going to go on next week in politics, man. So hope to see you there.
All right. I will. You know I'll be there. All right. You take care, Bruce.
You too. Talk to you later.
Later.
Bye.
And for your reference, you can get Fourth Estate Radio, fourthestateradio.com. That's 10 p.m. Saturday night. And it's also streamed by our good friend Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. The same thing applies Sunday night at 10, All Things Reconsidered, allthingsreconsidered.org, with your host, the gentleman you just heard, dandy doggone fine fella, Bruce Birch. And that is also streamed through the good offices of Ben Birch, no relation, at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Let's roll on with the telephone. Bob is with us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
If we had only known they was coming to get us and take us to the camps, we would have had our host, and we would have had out our pitchforks, and we would have met them at the door.
We would have pitchforked them.
Yeah, we would have fought them at the door when they came if we only knew they were coming to get us.
Yeah, a little better by my lights to fight them before they get to the door, but I'm crazy.
Well, yeah, I know you are, Bob. And I love you, kid. But, hey, listen to this, okay? Why didn't the Jews in Germany fight the Nazis?
Fear?
No, they were cowed. They were cowed.
By a bunch
of
guys in...
They were asleep. They thought they lived in a damn democracy and they lived in a fascist state. And they didn't even know it. And then the... Kristallnacht?
Kristallnacht, yeah.
Yeah, when they busted out all the windows of the Jewish shops.
Yeah, sure.
And... nobody in this country, no one in the world is listening, but they're back, and they're in our country, son. They're in our country.
Yes, they are. I mean, it was said ever so well that fascism will come to America wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross, and it's here, Bob.
Yes, it is. And it's time that, we're not true Christians, no, because... we don't believe in their type of Christianity. We believe in
Palestinian carpenter?
A Palestinian carpenter, yeah.
Yeah, Yeshua.
Yeah, Yeshua, the dark-skinned one.
Yep. Yeah, one of those guys that...
Hey, if you go back in the lineage, you can see that he wasn't Caucasian.
No, I mean, he's just one of those dudes that wouldn't be welcome in Jerry Falwell's or Pat Robertson's church, and the torture boy Gonzalez would have him... I mean, if he poof, reappeared in the middle of America right now, torture boy Gonzalez would have him in Gitmo before he could say, blessed are the holy cow, what's happened to me?
He might even look like Gonzalez.
Ooh.
Yeah, he might even look like Gonzalez. He might.
Yeah, but, you know, Gonzalez hates people who look like him.
I know he does.
Gonzalez is a capo.
Ah, Gonzalez is a... Well, you know what they used to call him? Anyway, I was thinking today that it isn't enough that we just circle our wagons or whatever, or turn a circular fire squad on each other,
yeah.
You know, and put Paul Hackett in the middle and call him the pivot man, and we'll all shoot him at the same time and shoot ourselves, too.
Right.
Okay?
Sure.
We, as Democrats, all Democrats, I don't care, we got this idea that right will prevail, the flag waving stuff, and it's time, like a friend of mine said, stop waving the damn flag, okay?
Yeah, stop waving it and save it.
Just stop waving it, okay?
Yeah.
And then just look around you, okay? I want to send you and Agnes a CD I have a friend of mine to see. We worked in the Nixon administration, and then we moved on because, you see, this country is doing the same thing to the Iraqi vets that it did to the Vietnam vets. You don't think you are because you got this idea that, oh, you got a sticker in the back of the truck that says support the troops. Well, that's fine. You're supporting Bush. You're doing the same thing to the Iraq vets that you did to the Vietnam vets. And you didn't realize you're doing it. Okay?
Yeah.
You're saying, welcome home, and now get the hell out of here. Okay?
Yeah, we just welcome home. We really don't want to hear what you went through. Go back to work, stay out of our hair, and disappear somewhere, would you?
Yeah, because we got our little thing going here. We're going to keep going for it. Well, there's a lot of people. Excuse me. I'm Agnes asked me if I was all right, and I'm not. I'm going, and I don't mind going. I'm sick of living on this planet. I'm sick of living with people that are so wrapped up in themselves. And I'll say, if I get off to La La Land or go poof and I'm gone, I would like a dark spot somewhere in the universe where nobody knows my name. Kind of like that. What was that show? It was on TV a long, long time ago, the pub. And people go in there where nobody knows your name.
Oh, yeah, Cheers, sure.
Yeah, Cheers. Yeah,
not where everybody knows your name, where nobody knows your name.
Yeah, I want to go not where everybody knows my name, but where nobody knows. And it doesn't matter, because after it's over, it's over. And I have researched this thing to the point where all I want to do is go fishing. You know?
Yeah.
Just go out and sit on a lake. I don't care if I...
Put a line in the water and watch the water go by.
Yeah, you know, and just forget about it all. But you know what? Like my son Mike said to me last time, Dad, why won't you get the boat out? And I said, because there's too damn much other things that are important. Too many things more that are important. More than going fishing.
Let me ask you a question, Bob. With the important stuff, if you really want to focus on the important stuff and stay meaningful in that fight, don't you have to step back and recharge a little bit every now and then?
I wish I could. I ain't got enough time just to, you know, got to recharge my batteries, because I'm kind of like Wayne. I'm past. Screaming into the wind and listening to my own voice come tossed back in my face, okay? I'm kind of like Wayne. I want my party, okay? My party has always been a Democrat party. I mean, my parents' party was a Republican party. They loved Ike, and I grew up with the I Like Ike stuff. And when Ike left and Kennedy came in, and I saw that man stand up there and speechify. I mean, he spoke to the common man. And after a while, he started bringing it across. Martin Luther King came on. And I was just coming on as a young man then. And I heard those mighty voices. And you know what? Today I hear those mighty voices. I hear wimps.
Yeah, you do. I can't take issue with you on that, Bob, because the fact of the matter is, I've got a friend who says this is the winnowing of the souls.
Yeah.
You know, this is the time when we are devoid of greatness. You know, we lost greatness when we lost Paul Wellstone.
Yes, we did. Paul Wellstone, he would have.
But they always kill our side, okay? I mean,
but guess who's doing the killing? And nobody looked into Wellstone, okay? Nobody really forced the issue.
Yeah, even though he died, he died from ice on his wings during a time and temperatures when there should have been no ice. But no, we can't look into that. Even though the college Republicans talked about we killed Paul Wellstone, you know, right. No, but we can't look into that.
Yeah, they did. And let's look at who the real killers in this country are.
Well, you know, okay.
Real killers in this country are those that have no love of nation. No, they have no love of nation. They have love of what?
Money.
Right.
Power.
And what is the root of all evil?
The love of money.
That's right. And we have a nation full of...
Well, you know, I heard you talk about, you know, the... I understand completely. Agnes is going to hit me with an iron skillet if I don't go to the break, Bob.
Okay. Well,
out of here. Have a great weekend, all right? Take care.
I would like you to understand something.
I'll try.
That cat of yours that looks, it's a yellow one.
Yeah.
And I got a picture of Agnes that she's looking at the yellow cat.
Yeah.
I got one that looks just like it.
That's a great cat.
Huh?
That's a great cat.
A great?
Yeah, a wonderful cat.
What's its name?
Sebastian.
Sebastian. Yeah, I got a female that looks just like it. Maybe we ought to put them together and see if they can make a little yellow baby. hey, I understand. Agnes is getting ready to hit you with a skillet.
It hurts, Bob. It hurts. I got to go.
I doubt she ever would.
Later. Take
Bye.
Care. Bye now.
Love you much.
You too. All right, break time. When we come back, we'll wrap it all up. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway.
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
So this is how we wrap it up on this Friday night, the 17th of February. Praise Jesus, we're half done with February. This is the month, you know, figuratively speaking, that it's like you got to have a machete or ball bat or something to just beat back the blues and the blahs and the yuck. and, you know, March and little daffodils poking their little heads through the little yellow flowers and you start feeling better. But, yeah, screw you, T.S. Eliot. April is the cruelest month. No. February. Without a doubt, February. Now, we'll wrap it up this way tonight. A couple of things from our buddy Wayne. A couple of blog entries. The first one comes from Sirota. They both come from Sirota blog, David Sirota. And he mentions that he's got one segment there. And this is all at workingforchange.com/blog. That sound you hear is Joe Lieberman's bowels releasing. But it's got a reference to a piece on Daily Kos about you know, dear Joe Lieberman, America's favorite Quisling, and it has to do with poll numbers. And it turns out that Joe does have primary opposition, a man by the name of Lamont. Ned Lamont. Yeah, he's a millionaire. Like you're surprised? Like a poor guy's going to run for Senate in Connecticut? But the first part of the polling data that is mentioned on Daily Kos shows Lieberman's numbers as follows. Lieberman running as an independent, 45%. Lamont running as a Democrat, 24%. And some Republican, 14%. That's the polling data right now in Connecticut. Now, as it's pointed out at Daily Kos, that's just stupid, because Lieberman is filed as and running as a Democrat, and he could not run as an independent. So if you back up and look at the Democratic voters, the breakdown right now is Lieberman 47%, Ned Lamont 36%. Lieberman is having nightmares right now. And one of the things pointed out, this is what makes the blogosphere worthwhile, because they can go back and dig up a cretin's words and turn them sideways and jam them right back down their ugly little throats. Lieberman has been writing emails. One of them says something like this, saying he's a real tough guy on the administration. As you may know, one of my duties as your senator is to serve as the top Democrat on the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. In that role, I am helping to lead an investigation into the federal government's response to Hurricane Katrina. To be perfectly blunt, I thought that response led by the Department of Homeland Security was an abysmal failure. In fact, this colossal failure is something of which this administration should be ashamed. I called for these hearings because I wanted exactly what went wrong and why it went wrong, for one reason, to make sure it never happens again. All right, you got all that? Well, this is Joe Lieberman from back when he chaired the committee that gave senatorial approval to Brownie. Mr. Brown, I thank you very much. I will certainly support your nomination. I will do my best to move it through the committee as soon as possible so we can have you fully and legally at work in your new position. In the meantime, I thank you very much. I thank your family for their support of you, and at this point, we will adjourn the hearing. Well, I tell you, I don't know if I could take that kind of pit bull grilling from Joe Lieberman for very long. God, I'm surprised Brownie's wife didn't get up and run out of the room. But, yeah, Lieberman 47% among Democratic voters, Lieberman 47%, Lamont 36%. If you can help out Lamont, I mean, you want a fight worth fighting? Here's a fight worth fighting. I mean, the Hackett thing is the Hackett thing is the Hackett thing, and the Hackett thing is over. How about a little help for Ned Lamont? Because odds are, he's better than Joe Lieberman by a long shot. A long, long shot. And, you know, he won't gladly engage in George Bush's ugly little bids to start more race wars. This also from Sirota blog. An exchange. If you were paying attention to the news, you saw that the new Fed chairman, Chairman Bernanke, appeared before Congress, appeared before the Senate, or rather the House Financial Services Committee. And this is the exchange that went down. I want you to listen to this in the context of what we were talking about with, so-called illegal aliens or guest workers, and especially the jobs that Americans won't do. Okay? In his testimony to the House Financial Services Committee, Bernanke had an exchange with independent Congressman Bernie Sanders of Vermont. And what this is the question Sanders put to him. Chairman Bernanke, should the Congress raise the minimum wage so that every worker in America who works 40 hours a week escapes from poverty? A very simple question, sir. Bernanke. I'm going to be an economist and give you the one hand and the other hand. On the minimum wage, it's actually a very controversial issue among economists, none of whom make minimum wage, by the way. Clearly, if you raise the minimum wage, then those workers who retain their jobs will get higher income, and therefore it helps them. The concerns that some economists have raised about the minimum wage are, first, is it as well targeted as it could be? That is, how much of the increase is going to the teenage children of suburban families, for example? And secondly, does it have any employment effects? That is, do higher wages lower employment of low-wage workers? Sanders, and your response is? Bernanke. My response is, I think it doesn't lower employment. And David Sirota points out, there you have it, a conservative Republican Federal Reserve chairman nominated by a conservative Republican president acknowledges that the right wing's rhetoric about minimum wage is a lie. And of course it is, because lying is what Republicans do. They don't give a damn about workers. They don't give a damn about workers' rights. They don't care about safe workplaces. They care about being the cheap bastards that they are. All right? I mean, that's all there is to it. They're mean, they're hateful, they're cheap, and they don't care what happens to their workers because they know that there's always one right behind them. I mean, to put it in the context that I keep talking about, the idea of bringing Mexican coal miners into West Virginia deep mines. Now, the reason that was put forward by this Massey executive in Kentucky was that, well, you know, you got to understand that the work ethic of the Eastern Kentucky worker has gone down in recent years. And that and the scourge of drugs makes it difficult for us to find a competent workforce. Really? No kidding. He said that, you know, the Eastern Kentucky worker. And then, you know, if it's they're having trouble getting workers in West Virginia, too. So if it's the Eastern Kentucky worker, it's the West Virginia worker, it's the Virginia worker, it's the Tennessee worker. It's anywhere that Massey mines coal that they're having problems because, you know, they're scum, Massey. But the thing is, Massey right now pays coal miners in their underground mines, they pay them on average better than a UMW miner makes. And they do that to keep them from joining the UMW. Now, what happens if you bring those Mexican miners in? And you say, well, boys, I got us some Mexican miners here that'll be happy to mine coal for 6 1/4 an hour. I don't feel like, you know, if you want to take that 6 1/4 an hour, you're welcome to do it. But we ain't going to pay you what we've been paying you. And seeing as how you helped slit the throat of the UMWA, they're not going to be there to help you either. How's that? You want that 6 1/4 now, boy? That's how it works. Right there. That is how it works. And a quick email from our friend CB in California. She says, it's been running through my head for 2 days to go buy a big shotgun. Sounds like everybody else is as angry as I am tonight. Finally cracked and downloaded a better, clearer version of Abu Ghraib video. Didn't help clarify that much. Just as awful. And advises me to catch the power of nightmare. I've got it. Says, going to miss you over the weekend. We'll miss you guys, too. 2 days away or a day off for me to go and attend to business or something like that. And I don't feel right. It's just not right. Oh, and by the way, cheap labor and the job, you know, and I'm sorry, maybe it doesn't get to you the way it does to me, but that business about, you know, there are jobs that Americans just won't do. It, well, apparently one of the jobs that Americans won't do, and we can talk about this, one of the jobs that Americans won't do is run American ports. Because the Dear Leader administration jumped out yesterday and tried to rebuff criticism about the security risks inherent in selling for the lofty little tune of $6.8 billion. That'd almost pay for 10 minutes of the Iraq War. $6.8 billion selling to a company in the United Arab Emirates operations at six major American ports. What ports are those? Well, let's see. How about New York City? How about New Jersey? How about Baltimore? How about New Orleans? How about Miami? How about Philly? Short of Mobile and Tampa, that's pretty much the entire Eastern Gulf Coast in Houston. Because, you know, when it comes to running ports, there's just some jobs that Americans won't do. Four senators and three House members asked the administration Thursday to reconsider the approval, and one of those guys was a Republican, and the Bush administration said, "Screw you, shut up, get back in there and work on that gay marriage bill. If we want your opinion, you little mouth breathing acolyte Republican, we will damned well ask you. Shut up. We are selling this for we are selling the operation of American ports in Miami and Philly." And New Orleans, and New York, and New Jersey. We're selling it to the Arabs, okay? Shut up. We'll call you when we need you. Shut up. Because there's some jobs that Americans just won't do. Didn't there used to be a union called, help me here, the Longshoremen? The Longshoremen? Wouldn't it be nice to have strong unions in America so that when the Bush administration went to sell our ports to the United Arab Emirates that you could have organized labor to stand alongside good, solid Americans and say, we're Americans, by God, and we can do the job ourselves because we like the work. Nope, can't do that. We have worked very closely with the United States on a number of issues relating to the combat of terrorism prior to and post-September 11th, Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed Al Nahyan told the Associated Press. Look, I got nothing against... I like Arabs, I like Hindus, I like Pakistanis, Iranian Caucasians, white Americans, black Americans... I got love in my heart for the. I got joy down in my heart, down in my heart. I got joy down in my heart today, just like the little song they taught me in Sunday school. But you know what? If the United Arab Emirates wants to run ports, I hear they got some ports in the United Arab Emirates, and by God, they can run those. How about American ports run by American people? Now do you understand what all that crapulous talk in the State of the Union about protectionism was? They don't just do things. That protectionism talk in the State of the Union was a little softening up, a little, shh, here it comes, for the sellout of our American ports, because it would be protectionism to insist that Americans run American ports. Am I to understand that American industry is sunken so far that we cannot run the port in Philly? That image I have in my mind of a big burly American dude with biceps bigger than my thighs in a pea coat and a watch cap. Hey, bring that thing over here. That guy. Nope, we can't run our own ports anymore because in America there's jobs that Americans just won't do. God Almighty. Oh, and by the way, before we do wander off, Montgomery County, Maryland, two uniformed men strolled into the main room of the Little Falls Library in Bethesda and demanded the attention of all patrons using the computers, and then they made their announcement the viewing of internet pornography was forbidden! They wore baseball caps emblazoned with the words, Homeland Security. And just in case you didn't catch this, Christian right is circulating a petition to ban women from the ballot. This is another one of those squirrely little press releases I get. The U.S. Constitution prevents Hillary Rodham Clinton or any woman from serving as president, contrary to what feminists think. The 19th Amendment did not degender our nation's highest office. Article 2, Section 1 declares 16 times the president will be a man.
That's okay. Just have a sex change.
That's the Christian right. Those are the people, you know, the followers of Jesus. Dear God. They're idiots. They're stupid. It's not going to be hard to fight them. One good punch in the nose and they're going to run crying to their preacher. You can beat them with ideas. You can beat them with speech. All you got to do is be willing to do it. Stand up to them. Let them tell you you're going to hell. Tell them that they'll get there first and you'll stand outside the gates and tease them with ice cubes. It's not that hard. All it takes is a little guts and a little commitment. I want to tease them with ice cubes. Agnes says she wants to tease them with ice water. Don't be afraid. We got a couple of days. We'll be back Monday night. I hope you'll be back here with us. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor and engineered by our good friend Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream to this program as well as the archives of